At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
The original purpose of pawn shops was to create a way for those in financial need to get extra help. Back in the day, you could go to a pawn shop and trade in an item you owned for money. You would then use that money to help yourself get out of your dire financial situation. Once you were back on your feet, you could go to the pawn shop and buy back your item for the exact amount of money you received for it. Today, pawn shops are much different. When trading in your item, you get very little money compared to the object's value. If you want to buy the item back, you will pay much more than you receive for the item. The original intention of the pawn shop has shifted dramatically since its creation. There's been a drift in the hearts of people from seeking to help others to seeking to make a profit. The truth is that all of our hearts are prone to drift. We can drift from a life of loving God to a life of sin. That's why the author of Proverbs shows us how to prevent this drift. He points out four ways to avoid drifting in our own lives. They involve the heart, mouth, eyes, and feet. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 to 27 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil." It is key that he starts by talking about the heart. Think about our physical hearts. If we have a bad heart, then the rest of our body is in jeopardy. If the heart quits working, then everything else quits working. You cannot have a dead heart and a healthy ear. The same is true with our spiritual hearts. If the heart is good, then what flows out is good. However, if the heart is bad, what flows out of our heart will be bad. Guarding your heart can be challenging because the heart is attacked from so many different angles. This world and its pleasures are after your heart. Satan is after your heart. And our own sinful flesh wants to attack and fill our hearts with sin. When we're having a hard day or going through tough times, it can be easy for our hearts to drift away. The next area that we need to be careful of is our mouths. We are to put away our crooked speech. Let's think about the physical world again. Our mouth actually reveals what is going on in our hearts. If there's something wrong with our hearts, we will use our mouths to express that pain. The same is true on the spiritual level. The words and actions that flow from our mouths reveal where our heart is actually at. We may look spiritual from the outside. However, our words will reveal our spirituality. Putting away crooked speech does not simply mean not cussing. Putting away crooked speech means putting away all talk that dishonors God. If we're not careful, our mouths will drift into gossiping about others, using our words to put down others and talking pridefully about ourselves. The author in the book of Proverbs also talks about the eyes. We are to keep our spiritual eyes directly forward. Think about your physical eyes. If you're driving and you don't keep your eyes directly forward, you can get in some real trouble. Some of the worst crashes are because our eyes are focused on something else, such as a phone or somebody in the back seat. Our spiritual eyes do the same thing. When we turn our eyes away from the Lord, we are prone to stumble. Now, the final area mentioned in our passage of Scripture is all to do with your feet. When we focus on keeping our feet on the path, we move in the right direction. If you're going for a walk on a trail and you decide to get off the trail, you're much more likely to get lost. However, if you focus on keeping your feet on the trail, the path for you is laid out. Yet again, the same is true spiritually. If you follow the moral path God has laid out for you, you will not stumble. However, as you seek your own path, it becomes so much easier to stumble. With our heart, mouth, eyes, and feet guiding us, how do we prevent the natural drift that our soul wants to take? It all comes down to our focus. We must focus our whole being on Jesus Christ. Our heart, mouth, eyes, and feet must be all set to follow Jesus Christ. In the book of Philippians, Paul talks about running the race of life. He runs.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
By focusing on Jesus. That may sound a little unpractical. However, he gives us a practical example of what it means to focus on Jesus. He says in Philippians 3, verse 17, "Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do." According to Paul, we prevent the natural drift of our physical and spiritual bodies from sinning by looking at and imitating those who follow Jesus around us. Who are you looking to for an example of someone who follows Jesus? Of course, we should look to God's Word to see examples of what it looks like to follow Jesus. We will see the life of Jesus and his followers and emulate that. However, it shouldn't stop there. We should find other believers that follow Jesus and learn from them. Your body will naturally drift into sin. Proverbs tells us that our heart will not want to stay vigilant. Our mouth will want to use crooked speech. Our eyes will want to look to the side, and our feet will want to get off the path. While our physical and spiritual body wants to lead us astray, we must take time daily to focus on Jesus. When we do this, our hearts will be changed by the grace of our Lord Jesus. So every believer, every true believer, must make prayer a daily part of their lives. And so, dear listener, strive to imitate Christ. Strive to live according to the Word of God. I'd like to end by highlighting one passage of Scripture. The Amplified Translation says in 1 John 2, verse 6, "Whoever says he lives in Christ, that is, whoever says he has accepted him as God and Savior, ought, as a moral obligation, to walk and conduct himself just as he walked and conducted himself." From today, strive to walk like Jesus. Strive to conduct yourself like Jesus. He loved people from all walks of life. He had compassion for every soul. He cared for everyone, and we need to strive to live like this. Jesus shunned sin. He often withdrew to pray. We need to strive to live like this. We need to strive to be like Christ, to be a reflection of Him in this world. So let the light of the Lord shine through your life, and may all of the glory be given to Jesus Christ. When we talk about defeating your Pharaoh, we're talking about strongholds. We're talking about those chains that restrict you and pull you backwards into oppression. When we talk about Pharaoh, we're talking about obstacles in the spirit realm that try to stop your destiny as a child of God. And so, when we face a Pharaoh in our lives, we need to pray with aggression and realize this is not a game. Your life is not up for grabs to be ruled by anything oppressive. Your life is not to be ruled by anything unclean.
You have been made free in Jesus Christ. You have been liberated. You have been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. You have been redeemed by the Lord, so there is no room for a stronghold to take hold of you. Now you need to understand that pharaohs come in different forms. For some, it's family problems. Others, it's hopelessness and a discouraged spirit. For others, it's health problems and fear. But let me tell you that there is no pharaoh too big, no giant too strong for you as a child of God. No stronghold can withstand the power in the name of Jesus Christ. So we defeat Pharaoh, we defeat strongholds by relying on God's promises. We defeat Pharaoh by submitting to Jesus Christ.
Now, I would like to point out the different types of strongholds that we can potentially face. Giants and strongholds come in different forms, sizes, and shapes. Here are some common strongholds that affect people's lives: unforgiveness, manipulation, pride, lying, drunkenness, sexual sin, anger, fear. Let me just highlight a couple of examples. Fear is a stronghold because we are told that God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's something we are not given. But when someone becomes ruled by fear and governed by the spirit of fear, then it becomes a stronghold. This is not to say that you cannot feel fear. You can. But children of God are not, should not, be ruled by fear. And when it comes to unforgiveness, we are told in the book of Matthew to forgive 70 times 7, which symbolizes boundless forgiveness. So for anyone who keeps grudges, who keeps a scorecard, that becomes a stronghold. Apart from opening up the door to sin in your life, it's also important to have an awareness of all the other places where strongholds or giants can come from. Unrepented sin, family bloodlines, false or wrong patterns of thinking. So, how can unrepented sin become a stronghold? Let's take this man as an example. A Christian man who lies consistently. He is aware that he's lying, yet he persists to lie. He chooses not to repent because in his mind, he feels the need to tell all of these lies. Otherwise, how is he going to look to people? And what will they think about him? He doesn't want to give off the wrong impression. He wants to fit in. Going back to our definition at the very beginning, a stronghold is a mindset that hinders your growth. So, it's important to realize that this skewed way of thinking will hinder his growth as a Christian. As this man continues to practice the activity of sin and continues to lie without repenting, and I mean without truly repenting and turning away from sin, he doesn't realize it, but it becomes a stronghold. So, how can this man be delivered? The solution for this man is A, he gains knowledge of the Word of God. If he starts spending time in the Word of God, he will find out that Proverbs 12 verse 22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight." B, when he finds out point A, that God hates lying lips, this is where the renewal of the mind starts to take place. Where he thought he needed to lie or had to lie because he wants to maintain a certain image, his thought process now starts to shift into alignment with God's word. C, this is where the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes in, and it causes this man to repent and have a desire to turn away from that sin. This entire process takes a bit of time because you don't renew your mind or change your thought process to God's word in a day. You need to meditate and dwell on His Word, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your heart and break that stronghold. This is a very simple illustration, but I hope it gives you some clarity on how strongholds form and how we can be set free.
As children of God, we reject the enemy's schemes. We rebuke every seed that the enemy attempts to plant in our minds. We trust in the blood of Jesus Christ to break every chain, and we look to Jesus to continually help us to work out our salvation. So if there is an area that you can identify in your life, don't be condemned, but be convicted to fight the good fight. So how do you identify a stronghold? The best way to identify what the stronghold you face in your life is, you have to look at the area in your life where you face a constant battle, the area that you struggle the most. And the reason you need to identify this is because the devil is cunning and deceitful. He will know what the giant or stronghold struggle is. And so we need to be alert, because the devil will plant a seed in your mind, a seed that he will attempt to entice you with. And should you bite the bait, not only will that seed lead you to fall into sin or oppression, but it then opens the door to a potential stronghold or some kind of bondage. As an enemy, the devil will never present someone else's weaknesses or struggles to you. He will not plant a thought about alcohol when he knows you struggle with lust. No. He will always find the area that you are weakest in, and he will use that against you. That's why it's so important for us to be honest with ourselves and look introspectively at the areas we need deliverance from, because the enemy will see that as a route to disrupt our walk with Christ. This point is supported by 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, where the Bible says, "So that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs." The devil is witty, and he has evil designs. So we must be diligent. We must be vigilant. We must be alert and always on guard against any potential breach by the enemy in our minds.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.